Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. It's good for us to be together in worship, despite the chilly air and the rain. I want to call your attention to the announcements at the back of the bulletin, in particular, the announcement that our congregation meeting will be held two Sundays from today, February 21st, at the end of the drive-in service. It should be a very brief meeting. The only item on our agenda is to receive and accept the annual congregation reports, which you should have received on your way in this morning. Additional copies for those who are not here are available in the chapel inside the church building just across from the church office. I also would like to extend our family's thanks for your sympathy at the loss of Michelle's father. We appreciate your prayers and your kind words and notes of prayer and encouragement at this difficult time. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, whose goodness cascades over all creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins, and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace! Through the power and promise of Christ Jesus, our sins are washed away, and we are claimed as God's own beloved. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community, living out Christ's justice and the Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be made known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? How has it not been told you from the beginning? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I call on our children's attention at this time. Good morning to you all. This morning, just a minute ago, we heard a story about Jesus going to a city and healing people who were sick in that city. He was doing such a great job helping others that everybody wanted to come and see him. And a big crowd formed outside the door of the house where Jesus was staying. You know, everybody is different. I don't know about you, but I don't always like big crowds of people. Some people really love being in big crowds. And either one of those is good, however you are made, however you are comfortable. Jesus, however, decided that as important as it was for him to help people, to greet the crowds, he also needed time to rest and to pray. And in the same way, we should all find time to rest and pray. Now, Jesus went to a place where there were no other people to do this. That can be kind of hard for us to find sometimes. Today at your house when you get home, I wonder if you can find a quiet place where you can pray and rest. Maybe it's in your room. Maybe it's under a table. Maybe not on a rainy, cold day like this, but maybe some days for you that place is outside under a tree or elsewhere in your yard. I invite you all to go home. This goes for kids and grown-ups too. We should all go home today and find a safe, quiet place where we can rest and pray for a few minutes to listen as God speaks. When Jesus finished resting and praying, he felt ready to go out and do God's work, to help others, to heal others in a new place where he hadn't been yet. And in just this way, as we make time to rest and to pray, we'll be more ready to serve God and serve others. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus who showed us not just how to love and serve, but also how to rest and pray. Help us find rest and help us to talk and listen to you in prayer so that we can love and serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our passage from Mark's gospel this morning, interestingly enough, Jesus both removes and creates barriers. Now, the removal of barriers in this text is a little bit more obvious than their creation. Jesus, in this text, heals many people within the city of Capernaum. He breaks down some barriers that bind those people. The first healing story in our text this morning hit very close to home for Simon Peter. His mother-in-law was ill with a fever. In our day and age, at least pre-COVID, we might think, no big deal. She's got a cold or something. She'll get better. How quickly we may forget that a fever in ancient times was more dangerous than we can readily imagine. In a day and age without antibiotics, without antipyretics, without any sort of effective treatments, people could quite easily die or experience lifelong complications from something that seems as simple as a fever. We don't know whether this was one from which she would recover or one that would have taken her life had Jesus not helped her. We have to assume, though, that it was a threat to her long-term well-being, because Mark does not exactly waste words in his gospel account, and if he told us about it, it's likely to be important. We ourselves have gotten a sample of the sort of fear and danger that would have accompanied a fever in Jesus' day. Here, with this pandemic we are enduring, some people bounce back easily. Some never even realize they're sick. Some nearly die, and some have died. This woman, Simon's mother-in-law, is sick in bed. Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up. The fever goes away, and she's immediately restored to health. No recuperation period, no take two of these and call me in the morning, no take it easy for a couple of days. She immediately gets up and begins to serve Jesus and her friends. This fact of her service has bothered a lot of commentators about this story, particularly in the modern era, because to our modern ears that are sensitive to issues of gender equality, such a detail seems unnecessary, perhaps put there to keep Simon's mother-in-law in a particular place. It strikes modern ears that Jesus is commanding her to get back to work. Obviously, ancient Near Eastern culture was very different from our own. In that time and place, for Simon's mother, the matriarch, Simon's mother-in-law, excuse me, the matriarch of an extended household, to be denied the ability to serve, to show hospitality, would have been a terrible fate. And so here, it's not just that she was made well that is the miracle, not just that healing took place instantly, it is also that part of her well-being that was restored is her being restored to a place of honor in the household. She served those in the household, we read. The Greek word for serve here is diakoneo. It's the same word where we get our English word deacon. A deacon in the church today is one who serves others. In the Lutheran church today, in fact, deacons are also called ministers of word and service. In the New Testament, a deacon was one who provided for the needs of widows and orphans, a very important ministry in the early church. And so this term here may give us some clue about the importance of her service. Rather than merely being relegated to kitchen duty, Simon's mother-in-law actually becomes a servant in a way that sort of foreshadows the service provided by ministers within the early church. Further, this word, diakoneo, comes up two other times in Mark's gospel. Once in chapter 10, when Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." It seems that not only does Jesus not consider himself too good for this kind of service, in fact, he says it is for such service that he actually came, not to be served, but to serve. Jesus himself took on this service for others. And the third and final time this word diakoneo comes up in Mark's gospel, it's at the very end of the gospel story when Jesus is hanging lifeless on the cross. The narrator tells us that although Jesus' male disciples have fled, none are to be found. There were several female disciples gathered around watching the crucifixion at a distance. These women, we are told, used to serve Jesus when he was alive. They served him, diakoneo. They acted for him the same way Jesus claimed he himself had come to act toward others, to serve. The only other person in Mark's gospel described as serving in this way is Simon's mother-in-law here in this passage. I can't help but wonder and speculate, what if she was among those women at the foot of the cross What if she was among those women who were the first witnesses to the resurrection? What if she was among the women who stayed loyal to Jesus even when his male companions abandoned him? There is, of course, no way for us to know if she was in this group or not, but it is a tantalizing thought. What if serving, what if diakoneo, what if that is one of the ways that we are to become more like Jesus? One of the ways we follow him and become his disciples. What if this service is one of the ways we can be for each other and for the world the same thing Jesus came to be for us, not to be served, but to serve? Indeed, Jesus broke down some barriers for Simon's mother-in-law. Certainly, he broke down the barrier of the fever that might have taken her life. But he also pushed aside the barrier of gender in the sense that this woman was able to put into action a kind of service that Jesus himself later claims to be all about. Serving, not being served. And it is also faithful women at the crucifixion remaining loyal to Jesus whom they served during his earthly life who put this type of service into action. That is what Jesus' ministry is about in this passage, breaking down barriers that stand in the way of the life God wants all people to enjoy. Look also at the barriers of diseases and demonic possession that Jesus brushed aside for all the people there in Capernaum. And yet, curiously, Jesus also, in some ways, seems to hinder his own ministry in that town. We can almost imagine what a healer like Jesus could have done for himself in a place like Capernaum. His fame had spread. The people had come to him all night long for healings. The crowd gathered at the door. This is nothing like anything anyone has seen before. Miracles being done left and right. And then we are told in the heat of that moment, in the center of it all, Jesus leaves that place in the wee hours of the night or early the next morning, and not even his closest followers can find him at first. And when they finally do, they wonder, what is he doing? Why has he left? Everyone is searching for Jesus. He's a celebrity now. His fame has spread. And what does Jesus say in response? And what does he do? He says, let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. Why not stay in Capernaum? Why not rake in the bucks and bask in the fame? Because that's not what he set out to do. That is not his mission. He came to proclaim the message far and wide that God's kingdom, God's mission, God's reign, God's love, God's care is breaking into the world in a new way. God's power is at work overcoming all barriers so that humans can live not as broken individuals any longer, but as whole as God intended. So strangely enough, this time Jesus puts barriers in place, puts limits on his own ministry there in Capernaum in order to reach farther and wider with his message. You know, in his ministry, Jesus was not able to be everywhere. He was not able to cure everyone. But all that he did, both in tearing down and putting up barriers, all that he did was focused on revealing the kingdom message. This message is that God's love is being poured out for all who long to receive it. And that all the powers that stand opposed to God's way of life, whether it be demons or illness or anything else, those powers have met their match now that Jesus has come. And most of all, this message is that we are invited to live in this kingdom also, now and forever. Our lives are not unlike Jesus's this week. Your life is not unlike his because you cannot go everywhere this week. You will not be able to reach everyone this week. But in all that you do, you are called to witness to this same message of God's love and life, of God's healing and wholeness. I pray you will experience that life and love today as we worship and beyond. And more than that, that you will carry it with you across whatever barriers you cross this week. And remember, above all else, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And those like us who claim to follow him ought to find ourselves doing just that, serving one another and our neighbors alike as a sign unto the world that God's reign has indeed come near. Amen.
Singing in the silence, in thy hands expectant open, in the blessing, in the breaking, in your presence at this table, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, be the Christ, Jesus Christ, be the bread of peace. In the question, in the answer, in the moment of acceptance, in the heart's cry, in the healing, in the Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, be the wine of grace. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, be the bread of peace.
Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. For the church, for ministries of healing and wholeness, for hospital, hospice, and military chaplains, for those serving in prison ministry, for all who proclaim freedom and in the name of Christ, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For creation, for insects in the grass, clouds on the mountaintops, for cattle and for rainwater they drink, for the humility to take our place among all creatures of the earth, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For the nations, for all who lead in cities and towns, states and countries, for community organizers, school officials and CEOs, for international health organizations, that in times of trial, fear, or hopelessness, they find freedom in service to those most in need. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For all wearied by life's burdens, for those who are poor, for those lacking supportive relationships, for those crushed by debt, for those struggling with chronic pain or other sickness, for those exhausted from overwork or stress, and for all who cry out to you, especially those we name now. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For this congregation, for outreach and social ministries centered here, for parish nurses and visitors, for ministries of companionship and support, for the young people in this place who open us to new understandings, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who were called by name and now rest from their labors, that their lives serve as witnesses to the goodness of God, let us pray. Have mercy, O God. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of peace with one another. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life and are strengthened for our journey. Send us forth from this banquet, nourished in body and in spirit, to proclaim your good news and serve others in your name. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.